Imagine you are Yosef. You're born to a nice Jewish family, father and mother. And when you are young, Yosef is a young boy, his mother passes away. He grows up being very close to his father. His father obviously feels especially close with him because, you know, Yaakov had two wives, and Rachel, the wife that he was originally intending to marry, had only two children, Yosef and Binyamin. And she died when Binyamin was born. So Yosef and Binyamin feel especially close to their father. And then Yosef is constantly bullied by his brothers. Mind you, all his brothers are older than him. He's constantly bullied by them. And then one day, when he's 17 years old, they decide to kill him. They catch him and they kill him. One of the brothers, Yehuda, convinces everybody else, let's put him in a pit and we'll just leave him there. Yehuda really was hoping to take him out of the pit later on when everybody's going to walk away, but Yehuda was busy, he was somewhere else. And while Yehuda was busy, they said, you know what, instead of killing him, let's sell him as a slave. They saw Arab merchants walking by with their caravan, and they sell Yosef to these Arab merchants. He's sold. Then he's being sold and resold many times till he ends up being a slave in one oligarch's house in Egypt, some big overlord. His name is Potiphar, and he's a slave there. The wife of this Potiphar, Mrs. Potiphar, she likes Yosef, but not in the way how we think. She starts an intrigue with him, and she wants to seduce him. He refuses her advances, but because of that, she decides to punish him. And she frames him. She makes up a story that he was the one who was trying to get her. And he ends up in jail. And he's in jail. So first he's growing up while he sees his mother pass away. Then his brothers hate him and bully him. Then his brothers want to kill him. Then they sell him to Arab merchants as a slave. Then he's being resold more times. Then he is a slave in this oligarch's house. Then he's being framed for a crime. He's sitting in jail for a crime that he didn't commit. That's pretty tough. And now look at Yaakov, his father. First, this is before even our story, he wanted to marry Rachel. He ended up running away from the land of Israel. Why? Because his own brother wanted to kill him. He is running away. While he's running away, he actually meets Rachel that he falls in love with. He wants to marry her. His own father-in-law tricks him. And he switches Rachel for Leah. He ends up marrying a wrong woman. So he unveils his wife, and it's a wrong woman. He comes to his father-in-law and says, what's going on over here? He says, you know what? Leah is older, and in our place, the tradition is to never marry off younger daughter before an older one. Some people deal with situation in this way. And he said, well, if you want to marry her, I'll let you marry her, but you have to earn your right to marry her. For Rachel, he had to work for 7 years to be allowed to marry her. So now he works for 7 years. He was tricked. He married the wrong woman. Lavan says, if you'll work for me for another 7 years, I'll let you have your wife that you want. So he ends up marrying two of sisters, and he is working for this cheater of a father-in-law for 14 years. And then he was actually kind of stuck there. It was very hard for him to go anywhere else. He worked there for another 6 years. 20 years spent he worked there for this not very nice person. When he realized, okay, enough is enough, I want to get out of here, he consulted his wives, who were daughters of his boss. And he says, listen, do you want to leave? And they both say emphatically, we've got nothing to lose here. They were happy to get as far away from their father as possible. That's how good of a father he was. So Yaakov then leaves. Now, in the meantime, the whole story with Yosef, he has his son who he feels very close with. His other children are bullying him. Then when they sold Yosef to Arab merchants as a slave, what did they tell their father? They told their father that he was eaten by an animal. He died. So the son who he felt so close to, now he thinks he's dead, says he was tormented by it. As a matter of fact, it says that when somebody grieves loss of a loved one, the special gift that God gave, that this pain eases off over the time. As a matter of fact, Talmud asks, why did God create such a thing as forgetfulness? Usually to forget things is not a good thing. You would want to remember everything you learn, right? If you have some information, you want to retain it. So why did God create such a thing as forgetfulness? Talmud says for two reasons. For a woman who gives birth to forget the pain of labor, so she will want to have kids again and she will not remember how much in pain she was. And for people to forget the pain of loss of a loved one. So this pain over time eases off. Otherwise, if people will be in constant anguish over this loss, they won't be able to continue their lives. So it says that when somebody loses a loved one, God forbid, they experience this pain, but then God gives a special gift that this pain eases off. This is when a person passes away. Yaakov didn't have that. Why? Because his son really didn't pass away. So he kept experiencing this grief all the time. It was not easing off. So Yaakov lives tormented by those emotions. And if you look even further back, our forefathers, their lives were hell. We just spoke about Yosef and Yaakov. Go back to Avram. Their lives were terrible. Avram, his wife was kidnapped from him several times. Yitzchak, he was growing up again. He had trouble from his brother, from his neighbors, from everybody. His own father wanted to kill him because God said so. The whole story of Akedah. So their lives were very, very hard. And you know what? Sometime when I want to complain to God about how difficult my situation is, about whatever it is I'm going through, I open up the Torah and I'm thinking to myself, these guys were righteous people. And if they had all this happen to them, what right do I have to complain here? And if we will look later in our history, we find the same thing, for whatever reason it is. But we notice that our great rabbis, many of our great rabbis, have had very difficult lives. One of the most famous rabbis in our history, Maimonides, Rambam. He lived in the 12th century in Spain. This was during Muslim conquest, and Moors who conquered Spain were forcefully were converting everybody into Islam. And Rambam's father, who was a chief rabbi of Cordova, went into hiding, not to be forced to convert to Islam. And they spent many years in hiding. And then they realized they have to flee Spain. They ran away from Spain. They were in several different countries. They tried to settle in Israel, and it didn't work because Israel was a very difficult place to live back then economically and also politically, because Muslims were in charge of the land of Israel also. And finally, he came to Egypt, where he settled. But this was when he was 23 years old. From 11 years old to 23 years old, all of his formative years he spent on the run, hiding, traveling from place to place, from country to country. And his struggles didn't end there. He had a great mind, and people recognized that somebody like this has to be dedicated to study of the Torah. He had a brother, David, that was a businessman, and he was a successful businessman, and he said he will earn money and share his profits with Rambam, and Rambam should be spending his entire day learning Torah. So David offered to support his brother, and he said he's going to have him. The merit of Rambam's teachings will be partially his because he's supporting him. He was very happy to do it. He did it out of his genuine desire to help the learning of the Torah of the world, and he was doing it. Till a few years later, Rambam gets the notice that his brother, who was a merchant, he was traveling, buying things, selling things. He was somewhere in the high seas, and his entire ship sunk. He died and all of his business was completely gone. So now Rambam was left without a brother and without source of livelihood. So all of these things were happening to Rambam. You look at his books. Do you see any trace of anger, grief, depression? The other way around. All of his books are full of optimism, belief in greatness of God who created this world. He's always talking about how positive everything is. Just a couple centuries after Rambam, not even a couple centuries, lived another famous rabbi, Maharam of Rottenburg. He lived in Germany, and Prince Rudolf back then was stuck in debt. They had a great national debt. So what did he do? He kidnapped Maharam of Rottenburg for ransom. And he was demanding an exorbitant amount of money from the Jewish community of Germany to pay for his national debt. Maharam wrote from jail that he, as a rabbi of the community, is prohibiting them to pay the ransom. Why? Because he said, if this will be the case, if you will pay the money, do you know what's going to happen next? Next time they need money, they're going to kidnap another rabbi. And then they're going to kidnap another person. And then they're going to kidnap me again. He says, how do you know that I will not end up in jail a year later when you'll need money again? So he said, I'm prohibiting you to pay the ransom. He spent 13 years in jail and died in jail. Most of his works that we have today were written in jail. You know this history about him now. Open any one of his books. You'll never see a trace of it. You'll never see even a hint of anger, of frustration. And this is for one simple reason. This is where we are going back to Yosef. Yosef had a very difficult life. And whenever you have difficulties, you have a choice if you will allow them to define your life or not. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef the righteous one, for a reason. We have many righteous people who are described in the Torah. Avram was righteous. Yitzchak was righteous. Yaakov was righteous. But the Torah doesn't ascribe the title of the righteous person to them. Yosef is called the righteous. And this is because whenever we have things happening to us, we could have good things happening to us, we could have bad things happening to us. And all along, we have these things happening to us. It is our choice how we are going to define ourselves. Whether we will let these negative things define us or whether we will let these positive things define us. The Torah doesn't say that these negative things are not happening. The Torah is not saying that they're not painful. They are very, very difficult and tragic. But while you're experiencing these tragic events, and the Torah says how much Yosef himself was in anguish, how much he was frustrated, he didn't allow this to be defining him as a person. And this is a lesson from Yosef.